This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده سبحانه وتعالى ونثني عليه الخير كله. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm honored to be with you for this dars, inshallah. And it is a great privilege for me to be honored this position, the position of Sheikh Ni'matullah, who has been teaching in this dars for some years. May Allah reward him and grant him tawfiq and grant all the brothers and sisters helping in establishing this dars and maintaining it for such a long period of time. Actually, as you know, that the topic that you are going through is Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, and when Sheikh Ni'matullah told me that you can deliver the dars instead of me, so he told me you can speak about other issues, because this issue of Al-Adab Al-Mufrad comprises all spheres of life. So I have chosen to speak about a very important topic in my view, which is needed for the Muslim Ummah now, and which is needed for the individual, for all individuals, Muslims, brothers and sisters. And I think one of the main reasons behind this decline that is going on in our Ummah is that the Ummah as a community and the Ummah as a group of individuals is lacking behind. And very few people really possess that quality or this quality or this character. This character, brothers and sisters, is proactivity. Proactivity. What does it mean, proactivity? Proactivity, in a nutshell, it means to take an initiative to do things before things are done for you. You take initiative to carry out activities, to do so many works, to take an action before things are done for you, or before even people are guiding you to do things. And this quality, brothers and sisters, is really a quality that is in need in all spheres of life. And maybe you know that now companies, when they interview their people or their new candidates, they check whether they have those new candidates, whether they have this important quality or not. Because if the person has this important quality, most likely he will be having a leadership skills and will be a charismatic person and will be an effective person, and in turn, he will be a real asset for that organization. Brothers and sisters, the essence of this important quality goes back to Quran and Sunnah. We have a limited time to go through this important quality, so we'll try, inshallah, to cover different issues in a very short period of time. As we said, the essence of this quality, brothers and sisters, is the Quran and Sunnah. Not only the Quran and Sunnah, but the practice of the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the practice of the believers, the followers, the practice of scholars throughout Islamic history, and even common sense. Common sense leads to this quality. From the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can go through some verses. For example, the first verse that comes to our mind is the verse of Surah Ali Imran, when Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. In this verse, or in these two verses, Allah Jalla wa Ala, brothers and sisters, is commanding us, وَسَارِعُوا, is not only praising being hasty and being quick in doing good things and in doing good actions. No, Allah Jalla wa Ala is commanding us, وَسَارِعُوا. Not just do them, no, be hasty, be quick in doing them. Now, in this ayah, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَسَارِعُوا. What for? Many people, when we talk about proactivity, thinking that we are talking about it from an angle, that is reflected on the ummah, means thinking that because the ummah is in need for any activity, for any work to be done, then we are encouraging those people to carry out these activities. No. Once we are encouraging people, brothers and sisters, to be active people and to take proactive steps in doing things, this is because of them, because of each individual, because of you, not because of me, not because of the Muslim community, not because of the whole ummah. It is because of you. It is because of myself if I want to take active steps. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى. For what? إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. The forgiveness of your Lord is needed. You need it. I need it. Every single one of us is in desperate need for that مغفرة of Allah Jalla wa Ala. That's why once you remember all your sins, as a believer always remembers his sins, he will be so hasty in taking advantage of these minutes that he is living in. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Not only the مَغْفِرَة from Allah Jalla wa Ala, but وَجَنَّةٍ. Jannah, as wide as heavens and earth. عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah Jalla wa Ala prepared this Jannah for Muttaqeen. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Here there is another meaning in this ayah about being proactive. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Those who spend in matters of hardship and in matters of relaxation during hardship and during being relaxed. And this is a very important quality, sub-quality of those who are having this important quality, which is proactivity. I am being proactive not when I am relaxed, not when I am happy. No, I should be proactive in all our situations, especially في الضراء, in hardship. And that is the real test. And then, والكاظمين الغيظة والعافين عن الناس. Those who hold their anger, and those who forgive others. This is another dimension of proactivity, that don't wait for others to forgive what you have done. You forgive others because you are being proactive. You give more than you take. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. So you need to pardon others. Then Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves the muhsineen. The muhsineen, either those who give or those who perfect what they do. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is another dimension added to the previous dimensions mentioned in the ayah about being proactive, about being a person who give more than taking. And in the other ayah as well, in Surah Al-Hadid, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَسَابِقُوا here, وَسَابِقُوا race. Have a competition, have a race. إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أُعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Same thing. In the Quran, we see so many verses like this. وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Not just the believers. السَّابِقُونَ. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَكَانُوا يَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَكَانُوا لَهَا سَابِقُونَ. Those, they used to be so hasty to do good actions. And they used to make dua, رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا, out of fear, out of love. وَكَانُوا لَهَا سَابِقُونَ. They were racing, competing towards these actions. They were very proactive people. They are not waiting for others to encourage them or to guide them or to motivate them. They are self-motivated. This is the real meaning of proactivity. And brothers, being proactive, what does it also mean? As we said, it means that you give more than you take. What does that mean? What is the philosophical background behind this? When you give more than what you take, it means that the offer becomes more than the demand. And what does that remind us of? This reminds us of the low prices and good economy, good welfare. Because once more people are offering services and works to be done, we have more of them than those who are asking and begging people to give them things, to do things for them. Then, of course, we will maintain a good welfare within the Muslim community. And this, brothers, reminds us of the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-yadu al-ulya khayrun min al-yadi al-sufla. The upper hand is better than the lower hand. What does that mean? The upper hand that gives, that does not take or avoid taking, make it so minimum. Why? Because if you give, if he gives, and just very few of us take, then we will maintain welfare, well-being within the Muslim community. And I remember just a very simple example about that. You know, in Ramadan, Ramadan is coming, inshallah, within few weeks. In Ramadan, when we break our fast, and when people bring some food, especially dates, and when I bring few dates, you bring other few dates, and every one of us brings some few dates, then we will end up having a lot of dates, and we will eat a good amount of dates, and still there will be some dates remaining. But if just very few of us bring some dates, then of course at the end we will end up with very few of us have eaten good amount of dates. This is very simple. Same thing now in activities in our Muslim community. Take for example the issue of da'wah to non-Muslim brothers. The demand is higher, much higher than the offer. Very few people are offering these services, da'wah to non-Muslims. Is that true or not? That's why we see so many, in so many occasions, many non-Muslims are inquiring about Islam. Just they are asking, wallahi, very trivial questions about Islam. Where are the Muslims? 2 million people are living in the UK. Where are they? What are they doing? And they have all types of facilities where they can give da'wah to non-Muslims. I remember just a few weeks ago, when we were in Islamic Sharia Council, the brothers told me, there is a sister wants to speak to you, or there is a woman wants to speak to you. And they were very surprised. And then I was surprised that they were surprised that a lady wants to talk to me. And then when I went to her, I found why they were very surprised. She was a typical non-Muslim lady in a very sunny day, wearing such clothes. And then she told me, I am the one who my colleague told you about. I said, you so-and-so? She said, yes. I said, MashaAllah, how are you, sister? Assalamu alaikum, how are you? She was a Muslim lady. She accepted Islam just three weeks before she came to me. And how did she accept Islam? Proactivity from another sister, another revert. She met her and they had a meeting. And that revert sister was very clever. She started talking to her about what that attracts people to Islam. Not about Muslims being peaceful people, not about Muslims being nice people, not about Islam that it is a clean, tidy religion, not about Muslims being prompt in their timings and in their coming to the durus like this dars, okay? Not about all of these things. Because she knows that this is nonsense, or she knows that this is what she is telling about is not true. She talked to her about Tawheed, the concept of Tawheed. And then that lady, she said, well, wallahi, that makes a lot of sense. Said, that makes a lot of sense. And then she starts asking her about Islam. And then just, she had very few minutes to speak to her about Islam. So that lady accepted Islam and left. She knows nothing about Islam. When she came to Islamic Sharia Council, she knows nothing about Islam. She said, I heard about hijab and I saw my colleague wearing hijab. So means this is not acceptable? I said, no, it's not acceptable. Of course, I tried to explain to her. Then she said about prayer, I know that Muslims pray and we have to pray. And no one taught me how to pray for 3 weeks. I came by my own self to pray 3 times and I was just doing some actions that I have seen in the TV. No one taught her how to pray. Even we were struggling to find a sister dedicating some time for her to teach her, to socialize with her. We didn't find. Why? More demand, less offer. This is the situation. That's why we need to talk about such an important quality, proactivity. Brothers, as we said, in the Quran, there are many ayat, so many verses in the Quran talking about proactivity. Allah Jalla wa Ala, when He told us about the story of Surah Yasin, when Allah Jalla wa Ala sent two prophets, and then the people rejected the haqq, rejected them. Allah Jalla wa Ala then supported them by sending a third prophet. Then Allah Jalla wa Ala says, when the people rejected the haqq and rejected the da'wah of those prophets, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. A man came from the furthest point in the city. And he did not come just from the furthest point in the city, يَسْعَى. He's running, hurrying up. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Why? Why was he so hasty to deliver the message? Because he wants to be proactive before they deny the prophets, before they fall into so many kufr acts. He was so keen to guide them and to deliver that message. Allah Jalla wa Ala, brothers and sisters, Allah Jalla wa Ala could say, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Why Allah Jalla wa Ala, and we know that the Quran is a very profound, is the most profound speech and is the most precise speech. What is the need to say رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى, from the furthest point, and he was running? There is a meaning behind it. Allah Jalla wa Ala wants to tell us something behind it. Be hasty, be quick in doing good things. In Surah Al-Qasas, the story of Musa, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلُ يَسْعَى. Again, very similar. Allah Jalla wa Ala is mentioning this again. مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ, from the furthest point, يَسْعَى, and running. In the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brothers and sisters, we see the hadith of al-Sahihain. Very amazing hadith. Very, very amazing hadith. And I think in Arabic language, because of the nature of Arabic language, if you know Arabic language, it will be so amazing for you to hear it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in Sahih al-Bukhari, an Abi Huraira, طُوبَى لِعَبْدٍ آخِذٍ بِعِنَانِ فَرَسِهِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِنْ كَانَ فِي السَّاقَةِ فَهُوَ فِي السَّاقَةِ وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي الْحِرَاسَةِ فَهُوَ فِي الْحِرَاسَةِ أَشْعَثٌ رَأْسُهُ مُغْبَرَّةٌ قَدَمَاهُ إِنْ اسْتُؤْذِنَ إِنْ اسْتَأْذَنَ لَمْ يُؤْذَنْ لَهُ وَإِنْ شَفَعَ لَمْ يُشَفَعْ. The beginning of this hadith, maybe you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تَعِسَ عَبْدُ الدِّينَارِ تعس عبد الدرهم تعس عبد الخميصة تعس عبد الخميلة تعس وانتكس وإذا شيك فلانتقش. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this. طوبى means literally, or طوبى means a big tree in the paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam normally says this when he is so pleased about the action and about the person who is carrying out the action. طوبى. And if it is that big tree in the paradise, means this person is getting something big in the paradise. طوبَى. For who? لِعَبْدٍ. It doesn't care. عبد. Any عبد. Any slave. What is the quality? What is the main quality of him to be of such caliber? طوبَى. لِعَبْدٍ آخِذٍ بِعِنَانِ فَرَسِهِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He is taking the reins of his horse. He is mounting his horse, moving here and there. في سبيل الله. Just ready. Actually, not ready. He already took some steps. في سبيل الله. Because he is moving. He took the reins of his horse, moving here and there. في سبيل الله. In the sake of Allah جل وعلا. In the hadith, أشعث رأسه. His hair is disheveled. مُغْبَرَّةٌ قَدَمَاهُ. Dust his feet, full of dust. إِنْ اسْتُؤْذِنَ لَمْ يُؤْذَنْ لَهُ. وَإِنْ شَفَعَ لَمْ يُشَفَعَ. If he asks permission, he will not be granted permission. If he seeks to intercede for someone, he will not be given that. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, according to this riwayah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن كان في الحراسة فهو في الحراسة وإن كان في الساقة فهو في الساقة. If he was appointed a forward position, he will fulfill that. If he was appointed in the rear, as a rear guard, he will be fulfilling that position. It doesn't care for him what kind of position he is appointed for. He will fulfill that position. He is not seeking to be of a position of authority. No, it doesn't matter for him. If he was appointed to safeguard the people, he will do that. Just a normal guard, he will do that. And in this hadith, brothers, in this hadith, there is a very important quality mentioned in this hadith about such proactive people. In that hadith, many people think that proactive people take only leading positions, and that is not right. That is not right. If I come to the masjid, and even if I am the imam of the masjid, or even if I have a big position in a company, or even irrespective of whom am I, if I come and I found that there are some dust in the masjid, some rubbish in the masjid, why don't I take initiative and to clean that? Let me forget my position. Let me seek the forgiveness of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Let me seek a position in the sight of Allah Jalla wa Ala, with Allah Jalla wa Ala. This is the real leader who motivates others, who control others with love, not by being in a certain position. He doesn't care. And then, in the hadith, there is another indication of such of one of the important qualities of those people. He said in the hadith, إن كان في الحراسة, if he was appointed to be a guard in the rear of the, in the back of the army, he will be doing that. If he was appointed to be a guard in the front of the army, he will be doing that. Means he is listening to the commands of others. He is fulfilling the commands of others. He has not said, I have to give the commands. I am the leader. I have taken the reins of my horse. I have taken the initiative, so I should be granted the position. That is, from an Islamic point of view, is irrelevant. That is not important. The important is what you do, not where you are. And this also, brothers, in the hadith, teaches us a very important quality of this character of being proactive is, don't, once we ask people to be proactive, it doesn't mean that we are asking them to be unorganized. No, you have to be organized. This person, he was not doing things haphazard. He was not doing things out of his own mind. He was going to the people in charge of those activities, and they are appointing him in that position or in this position. إن كان في الحراسة. Who put him in that position? Someone has put him in that position. Means he is a well-organized person. He listens to others. And this, as I said, we were going to mention it, but we mentioned it here in the hadith, that we need to be proactive, yes, but we need to be as well well-organized. We need to take initiative in order to do things, but we need to be as well organized, well organized. And then, brothers, as we said, these are just some examples of the ahadith, the verses of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that support this important quality. Now, if we go back to the stories, the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seerah of the Sahaba, the seerah of the scholars, we will find that all our Muslim leaders possess that quality. You will never find a leader. Actually, you will never find a leader in the history who does not possess that quality, who is a passive person, not an active person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no need to speak about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how proactive he was. But just when I was preparing this topic, I came across a story, a well-known story in Sahih al-Bukhari. But I was sort of amazed when I read that. The story is goes on by saying that the Prophet, the people of Medina at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard a very, very loud noise, sudden noise in one night. And then they gathered together in order to see what's going on. في ناحية من المدينة, in a very far end of Medina. And then they saw, they are about to go to check the source of this noise. They found the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already coming, and he is telling them, "Lan tura'u, lan tura'u. Don't be worried, don't be worried. There is nothing wrong. Lan tura'u, lan tura'u." Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is receiving revelation from Allah jalla wa ala. He could stay and say, "Now Allah jalla wa ala will reveal something about this noise or about this sound," but he said, no, let me go by myself, a check. He never waited for Abu Bakr to accompany him. He never waited for other Sahaba to accompany him. He took that initiative. This is self-motivated quality. This quality is embedded in leaders. No need for someone to push you to go and check. Now, even, you know, in one company, when they interview people to check whether they have this proactivity or not. They do so many tricks in order to see whether the other people take quick steps. And they pretend, yani in the interview, the one who is taking the doing the interview, he is pretending that he drank water and he sort of, yani the water sort of fell down and he was coughing and he needs someone to help him in order to get rid of that cough. And he is pretending that in order to see what kind of reaction this person is going to take. Is he going just to wait until this person finish coughing and maybe he will die? Or is he going to call 99? Or is he going to call the other people? Or is he going to escape? Or is he going to take some steps, proactive steps, in helping this person? It is something embedded in ourselves. This is what we need. And if we do not possess that quality, we need to instill these qualities in ourselves in order to be real leaders for the ummah. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No need to mention about also Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and the initiative that he took during the Hurub al-Ridda, the apostasy wars, when some Muslims apostated. And no need also to talk about Umar, Ali. Even Ali bin Abi Talib, let me just mention this story. When Ali bin Abi Talib was very young, because this is not, yani it is a story related to Ali bin Abi Talib when he was a boy, not when he was a Khalifa. You may expect that a Khalifa to be a proactive person, but not a boy. You know, when Abu Dharr, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sent his brother first to investigate about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then his brother came to him, and Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not satisfied with the answer or the information his brother came up with. So he went himself to investigate the matter. So he went, and he was moving in in Mecca, and he was very careful not to be caught by the elite of Al-Quraysh, etc. Ali bin Abi Talib at that time was about 10 years of age. 10 years of age. He was not so old. Yani boy. 10 years of age. Many of our boys these days never think about that. But it is proactivity. So he saw him for the first night, the second night. He noticed that this is a stranger and he is seeking for something. Then he went to him. He approached him. And he told him, should the stranger know his home? يعني أما أنا للغريب أن يعرف منزله. Then they started the dialogue. Then he trusted him, and even the غريب trusted Ali bin Abi Talib. And then he told him that I came to know about this prophet. Then Ali bin Abi Talib came, brought him to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Anas ibn Malik, also when he was young, he said, one time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent me to do something. And then I was a bit late. And when I came home, my mother told me, where have you been, ya Anas? He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent me to do something. She said, what is it? He was a very young boy. He said, no, this is the secret of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I shouldn't tell you that. To his mother. And he was a young boy. هذا سر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I should not expose that. Very young boy. He's not waiting for someone to guide him clearly what you need to tell, what you need not to tell, what you need to do, what you need not to do. No, he's self-motivated. He's carrying out these things out of proactivity. This is what we want. Now, stories about this proactivity from all around, yani from all our Muslim leaders and our ulama. Let me just mention this story. We want to stop, yani maybe a few minutes before Maghrib to make some dua, inshallah, because it is Yawm al-Jum'ah. الإمام أحمد. الإمام أحمد رحمه الله. You know the time of fitna when they tested him and they wanted him to say that Quran is created during the time of Ma'mun and during the time of Al-Mu'tasim then Al-Wathiq. Al-Imam Ahmad, during the time of Al-Ma'mun, the start of the fitna, Al-Ma'mun called him, asked him to meet him. So, of course, when you receive a request or actually a letter commanding you to attend the meeting with the leader, with the Khalifa, leave alone the Khalifa, you will be a bit scared. So the people heard about that. There is a person, his name is Abu Ja'far al-Anbari. Abu Ja'far al-Anbari, anyone knows Abu Ja'far al-Anbari? No, no one knows about Abu Ja'far al-Anbari. All of us know about who? About Al-Imam Ahmad. But there are hidden people, unknown people. And those unknown people, they might help al-Islam more than the known people. And Allah Jalla wa Ala does not care about people to be known in this dunya. Allah Jalla wa Ala cares about people doing something for themselves. So Abu Ja'far al-Anbari, he said, when I heard about this, I traveled. عبرت النهر. I traveled and I crossed the river in Iraq. And then I went to Al-Imam Ahmad. I saw him in sort of in Al-Khan, like a shop. Then I came to him. What kind of proactivity this Abu Ja'far al-Anbari has? What does he want to tell Al-Imam Ahmad? Al-Imam Ahmad is the big imam. Everyone knows him. He is the biggest imam at that time. But do something. Do something for yourself. And don't ever belittle yourself before scholars, before leaders. Do something. Help them. Maybe a statement or a word of nasiha you give to a leader, to an imam, to a sheikh, to a scholar, that will support him. That will make him to remain firm on the haqq. This Abu Ja'far al-Anbari said lil imam, اتق الله فير الله يا إمام and don't listen to what they want you to say. Don't listen to them. Because if you listen to them in أجبتهم, many people will go astray because of you. And if you remain on the haqq, firm on the haqq, many people will remain on the haqq, on the truth because of you. And Imam Ahmad said, wallahi, these words, وَقَعَتْ فِي قَلْبِي, came straight to my heart. And I became so firm of because of these statements. Al-Imam Ahmad, as we mentioned Al-Imam Ahmad, he used to say, اللَّهُمَّ ارْحَمْ أَبَا الْهَيْثَمِ. His son, he told him, يَا أَبَتِي, سَمِعْتُكَ كَثِيرًا تَقُولَ اللَّهُمَّ ارْحَمْ أَبَا الْهَيْثَمِ. I heard you many times saying, oh Allah, forgive أبا الهيثم. Who is أبو الهيثم? He said, Abu al-Haytham, this person, when I was in the jail and they wanted to whip me, and Abu al-Haytham, he dragged my clothes and he said, Ya Imam, do you know who am I? He said, no. He said, Ana Abu al-Haytham, At-Tarrar, means I am Abu al-Haytham, the thief. Maktubun fi kitabi fi diwani Amir al-Mu'mineen. It is written, it is recorded that I was lashed 18,000 times because I used to steal things from people, steal things hiddenly from people. Otherwise, his hand would have been cut. And they flogged him 18,000 times, على التفاريق, يعني distributed. So, and he said to him, وصبرت, and I had patience. So you as an imam, you should be patient. Al-Imam Ahmad said, yani, if this person who used to be a thief, he had sabr, he used to be patient on this flogs, why shouldn't I be? While I am on the haqq, I am on the truth. So this also made me firm on the haqq, and I had patience as well. There are so many stories about being proactive. What is the point, brothers and sisters? The point is, just to conclude about, to conclude this session, is every single one of us needs to do something. Need to do something for what? For who? Not for the Muslim Ummah. He needs to do something for himself first. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. For himself first, to seek the pleasure of Allah Jalla wa'ala, the forgiveness of Allah Jalla wa'ala. And this is the real motivation behind being proactive. And the second point, brothers and sisters, don't ever belittle what you do in the sake of Allah Jalla wa'ala. Allah Jalla, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a baghi from Bani Israel, a prostitute from Bani Israel, she was granted the maghfirah of Allah Jalla wa'ala and the Jannah because of what? You know the story of a dog. She took that initiative to provide for that dog. And the revert brother, he told me, do you know how I became Muslim? He said, we used to deal with drugs and consume drugs. And in the sort of gang, there were some Muslims. They were bringing some drugs for us, etc. And they were also dealing with these drugs and using these drugs. And then all of a sudden, one Muslim guy out of those drug users, maybe he said to himself, enough is enough, let me do something good in my life. So he brought two copies of the Quran. He is a drug user. He brought two copies of the Quran to this gang. And this brother took a copy and another brother took another copy. Both of them accepted Islam. Don't ever belittle what you do. You can do a lot. Don't expect leaders to do things for you. You are a leader by yourself. It is not needed for you to be known. طوبى لعبد آخذ بعنان فرسه في سبيل الله. Just remember this hadith. Mount your horse in the sake of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Move here and there and do things for yourself first and for your ummah. Brothers, many people say we are not scholars. Many people say we are not scholars. No need for you to be a scholar in order to distribute material. Some people say, well, we are not rich people. We cannot donate. No need for you to be a rich person. If you can do something on the internet, there are many facilities for us to give da'wah through internet. Even sisters, they can do a lot on the internet. As I told you about this Muslim sister, we were looking, searching for a sister that can teach her, that can socialize with her, but we could not find any. Don't ever belittle. Whatever you can do, brothers, even all of us are sinners. Don't expect the big sheikh is not a sinner. Don't expect that a leader is not committing sins. Don't expect even, as we said about the story of Abu Ja'far al-Anbari, that the leader does not become weak, or maybe he will be reluctant to be firm on the haqq, or to be firm on saying the truth. No, he is a human being at the end of the day. He needs your support. Wallahi, in many cases when we give khutbah in Fridays, and we don't know what kind of reaction, and just lay people come, and they say, wallahi, this khutbah was talking about a problem, and let me tell you another story about something, about your khutbah. And he is telling just a story. He's not telling the khatib, be firm on the haqq, or he's not encouraging the khatib by any means. He is just telling him a story. And then later on, you use the story in another khutbah, and that story will be so effective because it came from the heart of that person. Who is gaining the reward? You are gaining the reward. And that person is gaining the reward. And Allah Jalla wa Ala takes seven people to paradise because all of them share in preparing the arrow. All of them share in preparing the arrow. That's why, brothers, the last message that we would like, there were many other things to be said, but the last message that I would like to deliver to all of you, brothers, including myself, that never belittle yourself. And the second point, don't wait until people push you to do so. People guide you to do so. Take an initiative. If you don't know what to do, come and offer your services. Come to the imam. Come to the da'iya. Come to the sheikh. Come to, I guess, Sheikh Ni'matullah is in need of many efforts and many brothers to help in setting maybe this dars and other things. Come and offer your service. Don't wait for others to tell you, please come and help me. And once we have this kind of community, once we have this kind of individuals, then inshallah we will be a victorious ummah. And then Allah Jalla wa Ala will be pleased with us in this dunya, and therefore Allah Jalla wa Ala will be pleased with us in the hereafter. We ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to bestow His mercy upon us, and we ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to guide us to implement what we have heard, and we ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to help us also to maintain this important quality, to have this proactivity, and to take initiative in doing things. And we ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to forgive all our sins. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.